You are about to listen to a very refreshing and powerful message by God's servant, Pastor Vincent Inwensi. We pray that God will use this message to bless you richly and take you to a higher level of victory and breakthrough as you walk with Him in Jesus' name. Here now is your host, Pastor Vincent Inwensi.
The study that I'm about to preview with you today is a very important and interesting one, specially prepared by me for our church in Sierra Leone. I want us to look at this very important study, Staying Safe in the Face of Pestilences and Plagues. Staying safe in the face of pestilences and plagues. I believe that this topic is very relevant at a time like this, because over there in Sierra Leone, there's the plague of Ebola there. And so it's important that God's people learn how they can stay safe in this situation. The way it's going to happen is that those of you who are there right now, whom I believe to be pastors and leaders, I will preview this study with you. And then you will go to your churches, depending on how you want to group your church members, and you appoint a teacher over each one of those units, so that at an agreed day in the week, they can sit down together and study this together. That way, the message will be communicated. The reason I am taking this step is that I was informed that it's now difficult to even meet on Sundays because of the restrictions. So instead of allowing God's people to begin to starve, the best thing is to come up with an arrangement that will make it possible for them to receive the Word of God even at home. And that is exactly what this is about. So you that is present, you will receive the Word, you will receive the teaching, and then you will go ahead and pass it across to other people. Let's look at the introduction. It says, one of the definitions of the word pestilence is a contagious or infectious epidemic disease that is devastating, deadly, and spreads quickly. I believe this definition properly describes the Ebola plague that is presently wreaking havoc in Sierra Leone. For those who are God's children, that is, born-again Christians, there is a provision for divine protection from such a pestilence or plague. And that is what this study is about. God says in His Word that His people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So it is very important that the child of God understands how to stay safe in the face of such a pestilence. We don't want a situation where God's people become vulnerable, everybody is being killed by Ebola, and then somebody say, oh, it's also affecting believers. It's not supposed to be like that. And in this study, we want to see how God's people can stay safe in the face of Ebola plague, and indeed, in the face of any pestilence or plague at all. There's a way to stay safe in the face of such a plague. So that is what we want to study. How to stay safe in the face of pestilences and plagues. Now let's look at part one. In part one, we are going to just do some introduction and then answer some basic questions. Then in part two, we will go a little deeper. We want to look at where pestilences and plagues come from. That's the first part. Let me start by asking a question. Where do you think that pestilences and plagues like Ebola comes from? Where do you think they come from? Somebody should answer me. This is a Bible study. Okay, you think it is coming from God. It's a judgment from God. Thank you. Somebody else? Is there any other person there who want to answer? Where do you think pestilences and plagues like this, like Ebola, come from? Where do you think it comes from? Somebody else? Okay, so because people are no longer submitting to God, so that is why Ebola is there in Sierra Leone. Okay, thank you for that. But God is not the only one that can send a plague or a pestilence. So what are the other sources of plagues and pestilences? Somebody has said, or two people have said, they believe it is God that is sending the plague. I am asking, what are the other sources, apart from God, from which pestilences and diseases can come to people? Okay, thank you. The devil also can send a pestilence and can send a plague. Okay, that's good. Is there any other source from which a pestilence or a plague can come? Okay. Chemical reaction from man. Yes. Yeah. Natural disasters. Okay. Natural disasters can also be a source of pestilence and plagues. Yes, those are correct answers. Right now, we have four possible sources of plagues and pestilences. Number one, God's judgment. Number two, the devil's attack. Number three, human beings, in whatever form, either through chemicals or through demonic and satanic operations, human beings. Then number four, natural disasters. Yeah, I think that those ones are correct. So those are four possible sources of a pestilence or a disease. Now, a number of you there have already said that it must be God that is sending judgment upon the land. That is why this is happening. But I have a question for you. Why do you think it is God? Okay, somebody said because the land has departed from God. Now, if you say it's because the people there are not serving God, they are doing their own thing. The question is, what of the other nations around the world where people don't obey God? How come it is only Sierra Leone and Liberia and that region that God decided to send Ebola to? Okay, thank you very much, Pastor John. But I do not agree. I do not agree because the scripture you refer to in the book of Exodus, where God judged Egypt, if you read the account, you will find that God's judgment did not bring repentance to Egypt. In spite of all the plagues that God sent upon Egypt, Egypt remained a stubborn nation. Even Pharaoh, he still pursued after the children of Israel and he sank in the Red Sea. And after he sank in the Red Sea, we are never told that the nation of Egypt turned to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay, now if you go around the world, you will find that there are different kinds of wickedness in different places. In fact, in most nations today, they practice wickedness. And yet, there's no Ebola there. Yeah, God does send judgment. For instance, like in the Old Testament, you will see where God judged his own people. But if you read the account very well, you will see that, I think in the book of Jeremiah, God lamented that his people did not take correction. That the more he judged them, the more they continued in their wickedness. So, you come to see that most times, God doesn't use judgment as a way to turn people to himself. If you look at the book of Romans chapter 2, the Bible says that it is the goodness of God that lead men to repentance. So God uses goodness to draw people. Of course, he judges. But his number one weapon for drawing people to himself is not judgment. He can threaten his people and say, look, if you don't change, I will discipline you. But for a nation of ungodly people, God will not bring judgment as a way to convert them because it has never worked. Now, there are different nations around the world and they are all involved in wickedness. They are involved in all sorts of abomination. For instance, in America, it is a crime to read the Bible in schools. They have thrown God out of their schooling system, even the judicial system. Now, all those kind of horrible things are happening and yet they don't have any case of Ebola. So you can see, the point I'm trying to make is this. God's judgment is real, and God's judgment will come. But it is not something you can substantiate at this time to say that the case of Ebola is God sending judgment upon Sierra Leone. There's probably no wickedness that Sierra Leone has committed that other nations around have not committed. And the next question you want to ask yourself is this. Since this Ebola plague started over there in Sierra Leone, has it led to revival? The answer is no. Because the truth about it is that even the churches can't meet now. If you can't even have a crusade meeting now. So how is Ebola leading people to God? So that is something you need to understand. God will judge the nations. The Bible says that the wicked shall be turned to hell and all the nations that forget God. That one will come. But when God begins to judge, he will judge all nations. The Bible says that very clearly. But when there is a tragedy in the land, let's not be too quick to say it is God that is bringing judgment. I remember when America was attacked by terrorists and the World Trade Center was destroyed by the terrorists. Some preachers stood up and started saying it was the judgment of God upon America. Well, I didn't agree with them. And if you look back now and ask yourself, what did that attack do as far as salvation is concerned? I don't think that drew people closer to God. That attack, that terrorist attack, was simply the act of wicked men. So that is why the answer that was given earlier, that another source of pestilence or plague is human wickedness, is also correct. So, whereas it is true that when people disobey God, they open the door for all sorts of ugly things, let's not be quick to mistake that for God's judgment, because when God brings his judgment, he wipes everything away. If you look at when God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, he wiped them away. When he judged Pharaoh, he wiped him out of the way. When he judged Achan, he wiped him out of the way. When he judged Dathan and Abiram, the earth swallowed them up. When God judges, it's a fearful thing. That's why the Bible says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. God's judgment is coming. But the outbreaks of plagues and pestilences like this, most times, are not the direct act of God. Amen. Now, where is it coming from? Well, it can come from the devil. Just like somebody said earlier, in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Wherever evil things are happening, of course, the devil's name should not be too far away from there. Then, of course, number three, as we said previously, it can come from men. It can come from their mistakes, their wickedness, their mischief. And a man can open the door for tragedies like this, either deliberately or otherwise. When you do what is necessary to make certain ugly things to happen, they will happen. If somebody climbs up to the roof of a 10-story building and then jumps off, the law of gravity will catch up with him and he will land on the ground and die. Now, the law of gravity is there, but you cannot blame God and say God is to blame because God killed that man because he put the law of gravity in motion. No, that man climbed up to the roof and then jumped off. It was his own choice and his own decisions. Now, the point I'm making is there are certain times when human beings do certain things that open the door for evil. The evil that will invade their families, that will invade their nation, that will invade their neighborhood. So there are times when men do some wicked things that can open the door for evils like this. So these are the different sources of plagues. Now, it's important not to run away with the conclusion that this must be God's judgment. Because there are wickedness like that all over the nations. There are wickedness of different kinds all over the nations. There are nations where they kidnap people and demand for ransom. Of course, you have heard of the ISIS, that are clean people. You have heard of Boko Haram in Nigeria. Yet there are different wickedness in different places. So God's judgment is coming. No, so situations like this, let not be too quick to conclude that it is God. Because when God corrects his people, the intention is to bring them closer to him. But in a situation where we say, okay, this thing is because God wants these people to get closer to him, and now they can't even go to church. They can't even go to church. Those who were getting stronger in the Lord before this thing happened, now they don't even have somebody to preach to them because they can't go to church. So how can that possibly be God's own way of drawing people closer to himself? It is the thief that has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy that is at work, plus maybe some human beings that have allowed him to use them. Amen. Yeah, who is speaking? Okay, yeah. Okay, thank you very much. But I want you to go and write this down. Go and write it down. After Ebola, write it down and find out whether there will be revival. If there is revival after Ebola, it's not going to be because of Ebola. Because the truth about it is when people are in trouble that they seek God. The moment the problem is solved, people return back to their ways. If you read the book of Judges, you will see how that when God's children, when the children of Israel faced trouble, they cried out to God. The moment the problem is solved, they go back to their own ways. And that's the truth. So right now, it may look like people are saying, oh, we need to serve God, we need to serve God. After the problem is solved, after 1 year, you go and take a look and see what's happening. And that's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Yes, there may be some people that will turn to God as a result. But do you know how many thousands have died already and gone to hell? Is that God's method? Now, let's go on. Let's go on. Look at the first point there. It says, can you think of any examples in the Bible where God protected his people from a plague or pestilence? Can anybody think? Who can give us an example? Yeah, before you continue, what we are talking about here is plague and pestilence. We are looking at something like disease. Those ones you are talking about are clear judgments. The case of Noah was judgment upon the former earth. The case of Sodom and Gomorrah was judgment upon those nations where God sent fire. That one is not plague. That one is not pestilence. We are talking of disease that spread and affect people. Okay, thank you. Yeah, that's correct. That is a correct answer. Yes, there are examples in the Bible where God protected his people from a plague or pestilence. A good example is in the book of Exodus, where God sent plagues upon the land of Egypt, but his own people who were dwelling in Goshen were protected from partaking in those plagues, and they were not affected by those pestilence that God sent upon the land. So, now when you are teaching this study, what you do is you ask the people question and tell them to go straight to the point. Otherwise, one particular point can take the whole day and you won't be able to make much progress. So, let them go straight and answer exactly what they want to say. Then you can ask somebody else to add to it. If not, you can just move on to the next number. So yes, there are examples in the Bible where God protected these people. A good example is in the book of Exodus, when God sent plagues and pestilence upon the land of Egypt, he protected these people who were in the land of Goshen. Now the point we want to bring out from that is that there can be a plague or a pestilence in the land and God protects his people. See, there can be a plague or pestilence in the land, and God will go ahead and protect his people. The reason why this point is important is for those in Sierra Leone to know that even though there's the plague of Ebola in the land, God has a track record of being able to protect his people. So those who are God's people in the land can expect to be protected by God as long as they walk with him correctly. So that will build faith in the heart of the people to let them know that yes, God does protect his people in the face of pestilence or plague. Alright? Okay, number 2 points is refer to the 10 plagues of Egypt in Exodus chapter 7 to chapter 11. What lessons can you learn from this? We have just said it already. The two lessons to learn from there is that sometimes God can send plagues as judgment upon the land. But like we have heard, I am not of the opinion that God is the one sending this Ebola. Because I know the kind of wickedness that is here, even here in London right now, the kind of wickedness that is here. And yet people are still going about their own way. I have traveled to different parts of the world. I know the wickedness that in different places. A place like Thailand, for instance, you have them worshipping Buddha everywhere. In India, almost every street you look at, almost every house you look at, there's a shrine. And God is still withholding his hand from them. He's not brought judgment already upon them yet. And they are all created by God. So that is why I will not jump to the conclusion to say this is God's judgment upon the land. Because I know that there's wickedness all over the place. And when God is beckoning to people to come and serve him, he doesn't kill them. If he kills them, they will not be there. Now, Ebola has claimed thousands of lives already. So if he keeps killing the people, who are the people that will serve him? Okay. So the lesson to learn there is that where God can send plagues sometimes under certain conditions. But then God protects his people. You even see that in Egypt. When God sent plagues upon the wicked, he went ahead to protect his own people. He didn't send plague upon his own people. Now, number three, sometimes, as in the case of Egypt, plagues and pestilences can be as a result of God's judgment upon the ungodly ways that people have chosen to live. But most plagues are not God sent. Discuss this statement. We have discussed that already. God can send judgment upon the ungodly ways of the people, but most plagues are not God sent. So where do they come from? They can come from the devil. Number two, they can be as a result of natural disasters. Number three, they can be as a result of human wickedness and human mischief of different kinds. Number four, where do you think plagues that are not from God come from? Okay, we have already answered that one. They come from the devil. They can come from natural disasters. They can also come from human beings. Then number five, do you think the Ebola plague is a judgment from God or an attack from the devil? Give reasons for your answer. We have answered that already. Hey, many of you there are convinced that God is judging Cyril. Many of you there are convinced that God is judging Cyril, but I do not agree with that. Honestly, to be honest with you, if you take the position that God is judging Cyril, then it becomes difficult for you even to exercise faith for God's intervention. Because if he's the one judging the people, why are you asking him to stop when the people have not yet repented? The people are still continuing with their wickedness. Last night, somebody slept with somebody who is not his wife. You can't even pray for the land. You cannot pray for the land. Yeah, because if you think that it is God's judgment, why will you be asking God to forgive the people when the people have not shown any signs of repentance? So it hinders you from even taking your stand to intercede for the land. How can you be asking God to stop what he's doing when the people have not changed? So that's not the right posture to take. I believe, yes, God is not happy with the wickedness of the people, but so is he not happy with the wickedness of the people all over the nations? His judgment is coming, but what is happening right now, the one who has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy is at work, and that's the devil. It is when you see that clear picture that you'll be able to stop him. You'll be able to rise up in faith and tell him, stop there, and tell him you cannot destroy this land. That's when you'll be able to oppose him. But as long as you think it is God, the devil will be reckoning the havoc and be pointing finger at God. And you'll be there begging God, Lord, why are you doing this to us? Lord, 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 Lord. You are begging God. The one who is doing the havoc, you are not touching him. Yes. Yes, that's correct. In fact, that's Matthew chapter 24, isn't it? Yes. Yes. Yes, you are correct. They are the signs of the last days. But then in the book of Matthew chapter 24, the Bible never said that in the last days, God will send pestilence. We have just said that there are different sources of pestilence and plagues. Chapter 24 of Matthew never said that in the last days, God will send wars upon men. He will send pestilences upon them. He will send false prophets upon them. That's not what the Bible says. It does tell us that there will be pestilences. There will be famines in different places. There will be earthquakes. He never said that God will send those things. Do you get the point? And also in 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you start reading from verse 1, it says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Then verse 2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, so on and so forth. Now look at it. It says, for men. That word for can be translated as because. So it will read like this. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, because men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, and so on and so forth. So yes, in the last days, these are the last days, and all these kind of horrible things are happening. But the Bible never said that God will send these things in the last days to punish men. His judgment is coming. But there are forces that are at work in the last days. If anyone is bringing these things, it is the devil, because he knows that his time is short. So he's trying to claim as many souls as he can. Do you get that? Good. These are the works of last-day devils that are trying to kill as many people. Most of the thousands of people that have died already in Syria alone, who are not Christians, where do you think they went to? Do you think they went to heaven? So who is gaining? Who is really gaining out of all this destruction? It is the prince of darkness that is gaining. So God is a wise businessman. He cannot be doing something that will be profiting his enemy. Yes, of course. A believer can die of Ebola, a believer can die of anything. That is why we are studying something like this, because you can be a soldier. If you don't know how to wear your armor, you can be shot dead. That is why we are studying this, so that a believer can know how to protect himself. Because the fact that somebody is born again and he speaks in tongues, it's not enough to protect him. He has to know what to do. And that is why we are saying, staying safe in the face of pestilence and plagues, or how to stay safe. So you need to know the how to, so that you don't become a victim. Listen to me. There have been men of God of proven ministries who died in situations they were never supposed to die in. It's not because they are living in sin. God says in his word, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So if you don't have a working knowledge of how to walk in victory, even though you are a child of God, you can go to heaven early. So that's very important, so that when you hear that somebody dies, you won't say, oh, even though he says he's a Christian, maybe he was not really serious. Maybe he was living in some secret sin. No. You can be a genuine Christian, filled with the Holy Ghost, and yet if you don't know how to protect yourself, it's very easy. It's very easy for the enemy to get the person. That is why we want to study something like this. So it's not a case that once somebody is a Christian, know how, this thing will not touch him. That will only happen when you know how to walk in safety and allow God's word to protect you. That's when that happens. It's not automatic.